You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Okay, I want to tell you about one of our sponsors, Bet Online, our exclusive wagering partner. Bet Online, of course, where you get all your action on NFL football, NBA basketball, and Bet Online AG is the place you want to go. More options to wager than anywhere else online. So online today, take advantage of all the great midseason bonuses, offers, and contests. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. Use the code CLNS50 when you go to betonline.ag. Once again, betonline.ag, code CLNS50 to get you 50% off your initial deposit.
Josue, come on. We're live.
I'm here.
That does make sense. We're live.
That makes sense. What? We're live.
That's the only way to open this show. Josue with a delayed response.
No, we're good. We're live. We're here. It's a Wednesday. Not a ton going
Hump
well.
Day.
Actually, we had
what do you mean there's not a ton going on? This is the craziest day ever.
We had a pretty big NBA news day. Nothing happened in the Celtics universe, so to speak, yet. But there's a bunch of stuff kind of percolating, and there is some ripple effects, we think, for sure. Off of a lot of the stuff that happened yesterday, we've got coaching situations. We've got Jason Tatum situations. We have injuries that may or may not result in trades. It may facilitate trades. I want to talk about all of it. It's going to be a bit of a mishmash. We will let the chat dictate some of the direction we go here.
Some of these guys are crazy.
Yeah, as the room fills up, we'll do it. Jimmy Toscano, Josue Pavone, Bobby Manning, Sherrod Blakely may or may not be by in a little bit. You never know who else might want to jump in. A super exciting day for us for a couple of different reasons. We're going to come right out of the gate. You see that little logo right above Jimmy Toscano's head right now? And if you can make it out, it says right there.
Spotify.
The green room.
We are now sponsored by not Locker Room, but Spotify Green Room. And Spotify Green Room purchased Locker Room and merged with Clubhouse. And it's all blown up now. So anybody had app issues or whatever before, I'm pretty sure right now there's an update available. So if you're going to join us on Locker Room afterwards, which you should, go update it right now. It's going to completely change it over right to Spotify Green Room.
Everything's green.
Right
it's going to make
you change your life.
Yeah. The Spotify Celtics Green Room is what we're going to call it.
Yeah. Bingo. That's it.
It was made for us.
This is a synergy.
Do we have our own Spotify artist page now? Because that's what I'm interested in.
Yeah. Ooh. We've got a lot. Bobby might do some
playlists. Get a playlist going.
Yeah.
The Green Room playlist for the Garden.
Bobby and Josue are going to do a little hip hop room.
I'll do country.
Yeah. Country.
There we go. You can say, we'll have Jimmy perform in the
room. We don't know it all.
I'll do boomer. There we go. I'll do boomer rock.
Yeah, John will do 60s and 70s hard rock.
60s and 70s.
Bobby, is that you with the country thing? That's not me. I don't know that.
I'll be jam bands.
No,
how about that? I'm all jam bands.
Yeah.
So,
about 90s alternative.
You're a Grateful Dead guy. Aren't you a deadhead, John? Yeah, you're a deadhead. Everyone knew that about you probably before I even mentioned it.
The second they laid eyes on it.
Yeah, there. You might as well just stamp it.
I'm like the guy walking down the street who somebody for no reason asks me, like, do you know where I can get weed? And I'm like, what? They're like 10 years ago when you couldn't get it everywhere. It's like,
Hey, man, you got any?
Why'd you ask me?
No one will talk to strangers, but they'll ask that.
There's 150 people around here. the hell are you asking me for? So, Yes, we will have. I'm counting on Kes for Green Room. I'm counting on a lot of you guys. It's a big sign-up day too. So I think this is a, you know.
Listen, everybody, we need to have a good showing tonight. It's the opening night. We need to have a good showing. So get your ass over there when the show ends. All right.
Tell your friends and all that jazz.
Tell your friends.
Yeah. So that's it. It's cool. It's Spotify. They've taken control. There's a lot of cool new features. We'll talk about it more later in the show, and we'll obviously, you know, kind of pitch it, and we'll try to get you guys over there. But guys, I'm going to spin the wheel. It was a pretty interesting news day.
Interesting, yesterday. But like all bad things, I feel like.
Mostly bad, but let's start with Tatum. Jason Tatum was in the news for a couple different reasons. Among them was his all-star snub.
All-NBA.
All-NBA snub.
Yeah. All-NBA, rather, snub.
So he was an all-star, but he didn't quite make it to that the VIP lounge of the all-stars where you go for the all-NBA teams.
Yeah, so he didn't make it. That costs him $32 million in one of the most effed up, stupid things. There's no reason to go over why it's dumb. It's so freaking
well,
dumb.
I think we need to talk about it briefly because it's crazy to me.
What that he got?
That it's crazy to me.
My camera just got better.
That the Bobby Mannings of the world can dictate whether or not an NBA.
Well, I would have voted for him. It's not me.
I know, but not you, but the youth of the world, the media members. You know what I'm saying? Is the, you know, the reporters, the broadcasters, these people, do they know the game well? Absolutely. Should they be the end all be all of player making $33 million?
Bobby doesn't get to make that call.
Absolutely not. He'd get hung by his underwear in the locker room if he had that power. So no, I mean it's crazy. Listen, the All NBA team is a nice honor. It's great that players make the team, but it should not dictate whether or not you are, you know, $5 million richer next year or $33 million richer over the next 4 years. Like, that to me is not something that the media should have a say in.
Well, we know it's distorted by the fact LeBron made it. Are you kidding me? LeBron James is on second team All-NBA. After playing about half the season, that blew my mind. And I expected it, but still, when it comes out and I see it in the screen here, I'm still like, what is this? I mean, he did not have a season that you're going to look back on and be like, remember LeBron's 2021?
Yeah, but he's LeBron. He's going to get that.
I know, and that's the issue you mentioned there, Jimmy, because these media members are beholden to him.
No, give me a break, man. This guy rolls out of bed, and he's 25-8-8. We're just bored by it. Like, give me a break. If Jason Tatum was 25-8-8 and missed the All-Star team, we would missed. And if Tatum had LeBron stats and missed the team, we'd lose our freaking minds.
Yes, okay? But at some point, you have to play a certain amount of the season.
I understand,
incentive we have left for guys to play in the regular
season. Clearly has a proven track record of making everyone around him better.
But and that has nothing to do with his entire
life. And we're going to give it to a guy who scores. Like, honestly, like I said, is Jason Tatum to me is Zach LaVine in this scenario. Like, you can't get mad over the LeBrons and the Jimmy Butlers and these guys who are literally winners. They win for you and just look at stats and be like, Tatum's stats were good.
They were the seventh seed and they went out in the
Doesn't
first
matter.
Round.
They were the seventh seed because LeBron missed all those games.
They were seven games out of the playoffs.
How are you gonna say, oh, great achievement here? This Butler is like the same reason they say he should be MVP.
This is exactly why media members shouldn't. Everyone votes on completely different spectrums and reasons. And at the end of the day,
you're right.
Can you make a case for Tatum to make one of those teams? Absolutely. Yeah, can you make a case for LeBron to make one of those teams? Absolutely. So why is one guy missing out on over $30 million because, you know, a couple of voters think that LeBron should just get it because he's LeBron? Like, that to me is just crazy. At the end of the day, if there was no money involved here, oh, it's too bad. Like, Tatum missed out. There's been some sort of say in it for years now, but now more than ever, it feels like it's really rearing its ugly head in terms of, you know, the fact that even like, so he had more votes than like Kyrie Irving, for example, but just in the wrong position. So, I mean, could you make the case that he's one of the top 15 best players in the NBA this year? Absolutely. But because now it's a position thing, so if he played shooting guard more this year, now he's $33 million richer.
I love how triggered the Tatum stands are in here. Tatum was a marginal pick for this team. It's not a snub. Not only did he not make it, he could have absolutely made it. He could have absolutely, so could two or three other people who did not make it. Like Zion, are you kidding me? Like freaking, like Booker. Donovan Mitchell, like Booker, like Trae Young. Every one of those guys has a good
Tons
case.
Of guys. There's a lot a of, ton great of guys have a good NBA. Case.
So yeah. even if you.
Oh, that's all the more reason LeBron shouldn't have made it.
But even if you point to the guys you don't think deserved it, there's a list of five or six others who have just as good a beef as Tatum or Brown or whatever to that spot. Yeah.
Nobody should be surprised because we went over this. We've been over this for the last couple of months. Like, oh, it's going to come down. Like, Tatum's kind of on the fringe here, and we know the voting takes place before the playoffs. So, you know, that 50-point playoff game didn't count and all this stuff. And listen, when it comes down to it, all the Tatum stands and everybody out there, like John just said, how many times did we say he's so inconsistent, he's not winning them enough games, this, that, the other thing? You can't just go based on stats. There were a lot of reasons to be high on Tatum this year and a lot of reasons to be down at points. That isn't to say that he doesn't have a future in the league as a perennial All-Star. He does. But you can't also say he was a shoo-in for the All-NBA team and he got screwed. He didn't get screwed. There were players that were easily better than him this season. Now, you can make the case that a couple of them were right on the edge, but that's just what it was, and he came out on the wrong side of it. If maybe he was a little bit more consistent, if maybe the Celtics as a team played better behind him throughout this season, maybe they end up with a higher seed. Maybe they put up, you know, maybe they go in. Yeah, exactly. They played up with a higher seed. They don't end up in the matchups that they ended up in the first round. And, you know, it's a different story. So that's the cards that were dealt. And I have no issue with him missing it. I just have an issue with him missing out on all that money because of that reason.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what it comes down to. So now he doesn't get his Supermax.
I guess it works out for the team, right? I mean, you know, the Celtics are probably like, oh.
Oh, dang it. Did Wick send him a card, you know?
Wick sent him a text. Oh, we were really pulling for you, man.
Damn, Jason.
You were better than LeBron this year, Jason, if it means anything to you.
Think about all of the presents Wick could have gotten him for having a good season. Oh, God, Jesus. Mm. This early, Josue? How does this happen?
That was an early one.
Great system. It's one of those things, though, where you ask, what's the alternative? I guess they could just give these guys the money to begin with. Like, there is no good reason for withholding it from a guy who's on the Supermax. And yeah. it's one shot. You get one shot here. That doesn't make much sense.
Right.
Either.
And then it's like, oh, is he, you know, what are his, now, what is he looking for? Is he looking to just maximize his stats because he wants to get that money? And I wouldn't even fault him for it if that's
I know, especially this year. A lot of people said, oh, is he playing for that All-NBA team?
Yeah,
why not?
This is your, what's
this
left?
Is your one shot.
Right. Well, that's the thing is you can even get mad at him for it, but at the same time, yeah, you want them to play team ball and all that stuff. But at the same, but like, if somebody said that to me, I'd be like, yeah, I'm trying to get paid, man. I'm trying to get that $33 million. And then, yeah, let's try to win some games. But it's kind of hard to, like, balance the two out there. You know, you're putting all that weight on this one season. And then you have to, like, convince, you know, Joe Schmo, media member out in Denver to vote for you. You know what I mean? It's just nonsense.
I know. Meanwhile, Jaylen Brown's getting defensive all-defense votes.
Right. He gets
the
voting a first-place
usually
vote.
All over the place.
Yeah.
Right. It's a flawed, very flawed system. And there's really no way to fix it. It's just the fact that so much money relies on it for some of these players. Mitchell missed out on the money. There was another guy, I forget now off the top of my head, who missed out on it.
Do I even let Josue in? I don't even know if I let him in. Whatever.
I would let him sweat it out for a minute or two.
Fine, he's in. Off-season Xanis is the worst. Off-season Xanis is mean.
I am.
Okay, you're in
We got once a week. I want to get it right, okay? Spotify is watching, right. Josue.
We're good. We're back.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
It was so weird, too, this position thing this year. And I thought this, but it actually was right. Tatum got more points than Irving by like 8.
And what a weird thing.
Because he was shooting as a forward.
He got the most points as forward where he missed.
Yeah, but he got more points overall than Irving, who made the All-NBA team.
That's why the system should be tweaked a little bit, right? I mean, it shouldn't be the same way guys start for the All-Star game.
Well, they
right?
just Where tweaked it, didn't they?
Just the 15 best players. Gobert shouldn't be on
right.
that.
No, they didn't. Well, no, they didn't, Jimmy, because it's not just the top 15 players. It's divvied by position.
No, but didn't they tweet? Didn't they tweak the positions in some way this year?
Yeah, you could vote for guys as multiple positions, but because the most votes for Tatum went for him as a forward, he got shooed in as a forward. He could have been voted in as a guard, but the voters didn't do it. It was a weird system right. this year.
Yeah.
And you still had three centers in the end.
Bobby, how does this help with the $32 million here in terms of, you know?
It's all tax. So they're going to say –
because this help, this is good if you're a Celtics fan right now.
Not really. I mean, well, there shouldn't be a parade among Celtics fans
sure
that they're going to save $5 million.
If you think the owner
Bobby,
is –
Bobby, you got to save every penny, man.
If
yeah,
you think
but that's
my point. About money right now, you absolutely are happy that he saved $32 million.
Well, then you're over 4 years. Per year, it's probably going to be like $4 or $5 million here.
Good.
So it's something, yeah, if they're strained here. But ultimately, if you're strained tax-wise under this owner, that's a much bigger problem than
it is. Tatum's and since it is home since here. It is a problem, since it is a problem, we got to talk about it. Oh, wait, here it is. We got the first one.
Yeah, so I believe he goes from $33 million to $28 million.
Yeah,
how does that work?
It's a $5 million difference.
Yeah, so.
So it's Wick's tax.
That gives you that much more for Fournier, possibly. Something down the line with Smart if they end up keeping him around. And even the TP situation we're dealing with here, it gives you $5 million room there. So it does help in some way. But again, if they're really stuck below that tax line, or who knows how far into the tax they'll necessarily go here, that's still a huge question that we're going to see answered. And I think
that... That's the way I look at it.
Yeah.
Bobby's really trying to speak Fournier into existence here. He keeps bringing it up. He really wants the Fournier.
But anyway, so this happened. This was a thing. Also, Tatum going to the Olympics. Great. You know, the interesting thing here is...
I'm sure you're pumped about that, John.
I don't give a crap. Honestly, what's funny
I thought
is...
you do.
Generally speaking, I hate it when the best players turn down the Olympic stuff, but I do understand the selfish argument of like, if you've got a guy who looked tired, played way too many games, got COVID and needs his rest, would you have minded if he skipped it? Probably not. Are you mad that he went? No. You know, not at all. Like I said, I used to get really annoyed when the top players would miss it and you'd send a B team, because I think that sucks. If you're going to send the pros, send your best. I hate when you send your, you know, players like 30 through 40, you know, in the NBA.
Maybe one of those guys made one of these teams, like, you know, yeah.
I hate that. When the team has like, you know, Baines on it, you know, or whatever, you know, but I mean, you're
wow.
I know he's Australian, but
wow.
like,
yeah,
when you're way down of Australia,
yeah, Marcus Smart on that World Cup team.
No, don't.
Well, so that's why I mean, it's like John said, it's two sides to it. Yeah. You want to make sure that he's well rested going into the season. Now, that being said, how much time and effort and energy will he expel at USA? I mean, it's not like wasn't going to pick up a basketball this offseason and work out and get the training in and things like that. Yeah, Nick did get massacred. He got dragged hard. I almost retweeted it and wanted to drag him more, but I let him off the hook. But
I like how he worded it. I got Twitter blowing up. I'm like, I don't know if that's the way you worded it.
I don't know if that's not really quite blowing up. But listen, I look at it like it's great to have a player on your team that's good enough to be on that A team and good enough that, you know, got the invite and you know, people want him to say yes. And, like, let's have some pride for the country here, you know? He's putting on the USA jersey.
America.
Go out there and crush every team. Go out there and crush every other team. Crush them.
I want Barkley elbowing some Somalian guy, you know? Like, that's what you want, right?
So what's too bad here
is that's going to date me, but that was a last
year. Yeah, absolutely. I do want that. I want Argentina dead.
Google it. Lasting image of the 92 games when they first set the pros.
I want the overseas teams. I want them asking for Tatum's autograph after the game, you know, like back in the day.
Well, I do think the U.S. is
up on the bench. Yeah, right.
The U.S. is going to have a tough time, but we'll save that for another time.
But I don't care about that. What I want to know is everyone says, "Oh, this is one of the number one recruiting spots." In the offseason. And so the question becomes: this is Tatum is Tatum recruiting or being recruited?
Right. I know.
Well, he's alone this time. So
I saw a bunch of tweets of people being like, "Oh, this is going to be great. Tatum can recruit players over to the Celtics." I'm like, "Ooh, it could really go the opposite way, man." Like, I don't think we should just jump to that.
The difference.
Jumped on this. Everyone jumped on Dame.
Exactly. You know? Yeah.
This is like, such a stark contrast to that World Cup situation, though, because you had Kemba there, you had Brown, you had Smart. It was a very Celtics contingent. Those guys were playing big minutes together on that run. You got a lot out of that in the sense of chemistry between those four. Probably some level of recruitment. And
now it's just going to be Tatum and Grant over there.
Yeah,
we'll see on Grant. I think he's got a chance, but
Grant might make the B squad team. Maybe
what happens when Tatum commits, looks around, and everybody else said no, and it really is like him and Grant.
Get away from
him. Hey, Jason.
Him, Grant, Romeo. The same crew that was out there for game four, first round.
I think it'll be a really cool experience for Tatum. So good
John,
for him.
Just something that could definitely happen.
Maybe Tatum will be around some, you know, some other great players and get that. Maybe something will rub off on him from them. Like, you know,
Fournier's playing too.
Thompson's talking.
I think Thompson's playing for Canada. So there's a handful of Celtics that are going to be out there.
Yeah.
No, it's important. Yeah. Like what Jimmy said. I mean, maybe not for recruitments and that type of thing, but, you know, just to for Tatum to have conversations with guys off the court about basketball, about life, about things, you know, spend some time with some veterans that have been through it, some guys that have certainly, you know, have been on the wrong end of harsh criticism or whatever Tatum went through on top of, you know, obviously COVID and so many other setbacks as well. And for him to, you know, obviously what he did in the postseason and dropping into those 40-point, 50-point games, like, you're going to get teased about that. But also you're going to get some knowledge. There's a lot of respect to go with that. So I think this is a perfect time. It's a great time for him to go over there and you know, mingle with those guys.
Top
players in the country.
This isn't the NBA playoffs either. He's not going to be playing 46 minutes. He's going to be playing 20-something a few times a week. It's not like five games in 7 days playing 40 minutes like the NBA season. He's been off already for 3 weeks already, right? He probably would have been jumping right in the training at this point.
He can go hang with a bunch of guys who have no trade clauses from Boston in their contract.
He's got young legs, man. He's a young kid.
Hey, Bradley Beal's going. That's good.
He's young. At the end of the day, COVID aside, how much rest, you know, does a guy his age and his athletic, you know,
profile
ability, like how much really off season does he need? I want him to get rest, but don't tell me that he's, you know, not able to, you know, hop on a flight to Japan and hang out for a few weeks. Come on,
I don't care about the rest. He's 23 years old.
That's what I'm saying.
Playing basketball is good. It's much better than you think. There's some people who don't spend off seasons like not playing basketball, of course, you know, they get on Instagram when they're in the gym, like in like September,
late August,
early September.
There's no off season.
Jalen's like, shoot me right here, dribbling a lot. And then he's like, look what I've been doing, you know,
I enjoy this stuff too.
No, I gotta say, Jimmy, if anything that should make you feel better is that quote that he talked about, what he said earlier, towards the end of the season, that every month he's improved, right? You know, I'm only 23 years old. I'm not perfect. Something like that, right?
Yeah.
And every month he's going to improve. If he says that, he sets that standard, then that's always going to be a good thing for him to keep playing ball and playing, you know, at a competitive level, of course, representing your country. That's a good thing.
Jimmy, John, you mentioned them going out there and destroying teams. I actually really loved 2019 when there was great competition across the board. They were playing Jokic, they were playing Giannis with Greece. It was a great tournament. If they can get something similar to that in the Olympics, I love following this. I was up at 5 a.m. watching those games.
Yeah, and you've been literally talked about it for 67 games into the regular season about the impact of Team USA basketball. But that's the other cool thing about
he just stopped using that now.
Yeah, you're right. Forgot about
that. That's the one cool thing about the games. If you're an international player, none of these guys say no to their countries. Like, you can't say no to Greece. Giannis is Greek basketball. Right. Jokic, you know, right. Like, these guys have to play for
it
their country.
So they all do. All of his brothers. They're all.
So good. So you right. Exactly. It's literally the Greek team is like 9.
Luka's
like,
playing this year.
It's three quarters of Dedekumbos. You know, like there's like well, he's got
Greece,
nephews.
Greece might not want Giannis after last night's debacle, but that's another story. Know.
That was gross. Man. Too soon, Jimmy.
Loser. So that's the Tatum stuff. There's other ripple effect things that happen in the NBA over the course of whatever. I'm going to save the Leonard one. A lot of bad stuff with injuries and this
bad
and that. I'm going to save that.
Leonard,
I do want to talk
CP3.
About the coaching situation. Now, today, there's a couple interesting wrinkles with the coaches right now. You have two more.
Everyone's getting fired.
Two more vacancies today. Van Gundy and Brooks. Van Gundy out after a year. Okay, so now what have we got? These two guys. You've got Indiana again. Obviously
Orlando.
Boston, Portland.
And of course, it's not about the coaches per se getting fired, right? It's the vacancies, right? More opportunities for other coaches to snag jobs that aren't Boston
yet,
Celtics
but.
Head coach position, you know.
So yeah. That's the interesting one. So you have two sure. other ones, and so there's discussion, and it's not just one person. I know KOC mentioned it today, Bobby, and you brought it up, but it is possible. You know, the idea was when you stacked up all of these jobs, what's the most coveted one? You know, and you could say it was probably the Celtics based off of situation, based off having good stars, tradition, blah, 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 X, Y, and Z. You know, good basketball market, a lot of good things going for it. Some people now wonder if Bud gets fired in Milwaukee, which I think he honestly should have been fired in the third quarter of last night's game. But is this the top vacancy? The chance to coach Giannis? Honestly, I'd say New Orleans is more attractive to me than Milwaukee.
Oh,
that's
it's the
my
best
opinion.
Team. It's the best team. If you want a coach that comes in and you know takes over a team that's built to win.
But it is a
ready-made
team.
New
right.
Orleans? Oh, Milwaukee.
No, Milwaukee.
New Orleans?
Yeah. Well, we know Bobby. Bobby thinks New Orleans is a perennial.
It's a surprise you do that in the Southern accent.
What?
It depends on depends what you're looking for as a coach. I mean, a guy like Stan Van Gundy might want to take over a team like the Bucks, right? I mean, he just walks
Stan Van Gundy is probably going to be heading in the broadcast booth.
Yeah,
I'm just saying he's the type of coach. You know, at that point in his career, where he probably doesn't want a
which one of these spots does Brad want?
Milwaukee.
I mean,
a team that plays with tempo.
I mean, this is something we have to consider too. Is one of these teams going to call Brad? Are they going to be like, hey, can we?
A team with no stars.
This is, again, what I find so interesting. Like, let's say a team did want to inquire about Brad.
John's going to speculate that Brad's going to trade himself to Milwaukee.
Can Brad trade himself to Milwaukee? That would be the greatest first move for a GM in history.
I sacrifice myself.
I'm trading myself for a second round pick to Milwaukee. I'll see you guys later. What walk off move.
What
that
does
would
Brad
be.
Think he's worth?
Yeah.
That'll help I draft.
And he reeled in a heist, imagine.
So I think the possibility of Brad coaching another team is very real. I just don't see it happening.
Not this year. Yeah, you're right.
So, and honestly, every year it's the same thing. Five or six coaches get fired and we go through this whole thing all over again. I think it was like six or seven last year of new coach or first year coaches.
Two teams that hired coaches last year just fired them.
All right. So really we could be talking about some of these same teams.
Indiana and the Pelicans.
Year.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if it's not,
I think
it's going to be some other
within the next couple of years though. Like you say, Jimmy, it happens every year. There's a handful of teams
every
year. Brad Stevens' name is going to be brought up every year. Like, you have to assume that. I mean, you look at his track record, his respect across the league, for sure. Like, it wouldn't shock me if this is a 1 to 2 year thing with
why
him
would
as
they,
the
why, yeah, if you're the GM,
president
if you're the GM of another
operation.
Team, why wouldn't you pick up the phone and at least make the call? There's 25 teams over the next few years.
Would it shock you if Milwaukee at the end of the year calls up Wick and says, I want Brad to be my guy. Is there any chance you let him go? Wick talks to Brad. Brad says, "Yeah, I would coach there," and they did it. Is there? Do you think that's beyond the realm of possibility?
No. See, I think yes. If that happens this year, they'd have to shut it down because they couldn't have done that press conference and this and yeah. that about Brad. They couldn't do that. They would look like idiots.
That a reason? Is that a reason not to do it again?
Yes, I think in this case.
But here's the thing: if you are as
you have a damn good GM in place, though, that's the thing.
You got no GM. Yeah.
If there's a Daryl Morey here,
I would say Presti the whole time. You know, like what if that's in the works? What if it's the master plan? I'm gonna hold on to Brad till someone comes calling. When all the NBA coaching vacancies shake out, I know someone's coming there. You know.
Well, that's a reasonable suspicion. But again, why would they do this? Unless they're just that ridiculously bought into this notion that Brad was the Wonder Boy GM in training, and they had to show that off to the world with the big press conference there, to switch on that months later and do a trade of some sort or let him go elsewhere. I'd just be like, what is this team? What is this operation they're running over here?
It would look so amateur and who's actually running the show? Like,
it already looks bad enough, Jimmy.
This is what's going to have to happen, Jen. They're going to have to name somebody else to some sort of GM position prior to Brad trading himself to another team. They can't just...
Jets and Belichick.
The pilot can't just launch himself out of the
cockpit. He's literally just going to jump out of the plane while it's in midair.
And then all of a sudden, it's just a ghost plane driving right into the Indian Ocean.
He's got somebody coming in, though. He's got somebody, got to have somebody in place. That's the thing. I don't think it happens this summer because there's just not that. I just can't think of that genius or GM mind that could come in here and really fix things, you know?
You know what would be even better, Jimmy, if they did all that and then they had a press conference welcoming Danny Ainge back.
Right. Well, that's the thing is, like, they could, if Wick was dead set, on getting something for Brad, they didn't have to change Brad's job title or anything. They could have kept him as head coach and traded him as a head coach. And it would have, and Danny Ainge could have still retired and they could have brought somebody else in, or Danny Ainge could have held on for a little bit longer.
You need somebody there making the moves. That's the whole point.
Danny Ainge could have traded Brad if that's what it was all about. He's done it with the last coach.
If the idea behind Brad being there is if we feel it's money, then Brad's role is, and look, everyone in this room thinks it was driven by money. And he's a placeholder. And if those two, it's a placeholder situation and he won't be doing it for long. If all those things are true and the Celtics know it and Brad knows it, there's no reason to not make a move this offseason if the opportunity presented itself, because you'd be in no different, you wouldn't be in a different place. If the idea right now is that Brad is there to offer his basketball brain to Austin Ainge and to Zarin, who are going to actually be pulling the strings behind the scenes, and Brad's there in kind of like a very inflated sort of talent evaluator role, which they were already leaning on him as a head coach to do, then really there's no difference. You would have just kind of skated into this offseason. If the idea is these guys are running the team anyway, I just don't want to let him go. So I want to make him look like he's this coveted piece of real estate here that if other people want to come get. It's not beyond.
I feel like there's two parts of that, though, right?
If this plan is Brad's going to be the best thing ever, then absolutely they don't listen. You know, but if it's the other thing, there's no reason not to listen.
But I don't think it's one way or the other, John. I think it's more as like, maybe Brad had a little say, but at the end of the day, Danny did what he wanted to do. And maybe the last couple of years, they – differed, you know, in opinions on a couple of guys, you know, and it's obviously it's easy to say that because of this past off season, but shit, how do we know that that's not the case for some of these draft picks, some of these guys that, you know, were a bit of a head scratcher, if you will, you know, the last 3 or 4 years, whether it was late mid first round or, you know, mid to late first round, where, you know, they just didn't pan out, you know, it goes far back as the beginning of Brad's tenure to, you know, as far back as the last couple of years. So I just think it's a good chance for him to show that, you know, how much say he had in it and do things his way, so to speak, you know, what he thinks is going to truly help this team.
But if they were interested in all these things and getting rid of trading Brad, they could have done it a completely different way. They could have easily just, Danny Ainge could have held on to the position. They could have traded Brad right around whatever time they felt necessary. They could have done a coaching search behind the scenes. They could have done a GM search.
Not if Danny was fired. Okay. If Danny was actually forced out, then yes, you've got a problem. And so the idea was, if we believe Danny stepped aside because he wanted to step aside, it's a different story. You're right. You can do things a little bit differently there. But if you believe the Danny thing was a little bit of the time is now and a little bit of I'm also tired, so let's just do this thing. Any combo platter there puts you in a situation where now are you going to come in, bring in a GM, risk that guy firing the guy you just gave a big extension to? You can't do that. How do you prevent against doing that? Making Brad the GM. And so it's not that ridiculously far-fetched.
Or are you just Ainge retires, Zarin or Ainge Jr. is named interim GM, Brad's the coach until they trade him, and then they do a coaching search or a GM search, whatever it is, whatever
it's possible
to do. There's so many different ways they could have done it. I just feel like this, this way makes them look the most foolish, though. If it turns out after this whole press conference, it turns out they actually end up trading him, this makes them look way more out of sorts.
Even if it's
point.
A year from now, it will still look crazy.
Yeah.
That's why I think it doesn't happen.
But just right now. I think we're looking at the Doc Rivers situation and not realizing how unique that was. Like, I don't know if this whole swapping coaches thing is going to be the new norm, you know, for the Celtics moving forward.
All of this stuff is somebody's so talking about here. This is a little conspiracy theory sort
of
stuff.
The Clippers were, the whole trading coach thing.
So here's what we're talking about.
Hold on.
Wanted Doc running everything at that time.
That's not why we're talking about it. We're only talking about it because everybody seems to think that I'm just connecting dots. Everybody seems to think that it was inspired by money and that Brad was essentially forced out of the coaching gig. You don't usually fire somebody up, okay?
Yeah,
and so it doesn't make sense that they were like, nope, definitely, that's what we want.
He was forced out of the head coaching spot.
He was removed as head coach. They knew they wanted a new head coach, okay, for whatever reason. And they put Brad in a role that maybe they do think he's better suited for. It just feels weird. So honestly, I think it's dumber to just plow forward assuming this was plan A all along once Danny said he stepped down. I don't believe it was.
I don't think it was either. This whole thing is a complete crazy, weird mess, disaster, whatever word you want to use. And it makes them, as I said on Locker Room, rest in peace, now Spotify Green Room last week, the Celtics have been made out to be, in my opinion, the laughingstock of the league over the last month or 2 months.
Oh, it was so silly.
Celtics, City of Boston, however you want to name it. I haven't felt more low on this organization
It's been a while.
Before the, you know, KG era. I mean, we're talking.
Since Cam Newton threw his first pass.
in the NFL.
How about Chicken and Beer, you know, the same year that the Celtics.
Chicken and Beer was
official. It was a complete rebuild. And then Chicken and Beer had that team didn't even make the playoffs.
Oh, geez. Are we going to get a Bobby V now?
like I said, Chicken and Beer as fun I've had covering something. Oh, my God, was that fun.
Well, this is a lot less fun. I mean, let me just say that.
So everyone's saying conspiracy. What we know for a fact is that Ainge extended Stevens for many years in August. And then comes to the realization within months that he's retiring and just leaving Stevens in limbo. Because this really is all about Stevens being in limbo. Whether you think it's because they didn't want a GM coming in who wanted a different coach, or they couldn't stomach 5 years of paying Brad for not coaching them.
Real quick, a few people in the chat are asking about Locker Room. Is Locker Room gone? Locker Room is not gone. Locker Room was joined forces or was purchased by Spotify. Spotify has renamed it Spotify Green Room. I think it's also merged now with Clubhouse. Big doings today.
No, yes. Are you sure about that?
I don't know. That's what Nick said. Should I?
John's like, I'm reading copy. I don't know.
That would be.
They were mentioning Clubhouse in their intro thing, so I think so.
Okay, anyway, long story short, Spotify's running this thing, okay? And all you got to do is go in, update your app. It's the same thing as a Locker Room update, but what it's going to do is it's going to flip it immediately, and now it's going to be a Spotify Green Room logo. So it takes 2 seconds. Just do that, and we're going to join there later. Very cool thing. This is day one. It literally just launched, so we're going to be out there. We want to show up, so let's do it. Tell your friends, tell your people, Jimmy.
Well, so Spotify doesn't yell at us. They did not merge with Clubhouse. They are Clubhouse's main competitor. So that's the the tie-in with Clubhouse. So we are all anti-Clubhouse. I want to put that out there right now. We hate Clubhouse. If you have the Clubhouse app, delete it and download the Spotify Green Room app right now.
Okay. Great. So it's a, sorry about that. Yes. It did not absorb it. Bad news. Fake news. I was duped by it was a fake Woj, except he works for the company.
Oh my Lord.
No, Locker Room, rest in peace. Well, the legend of Locker Room will live on. That's where the bones of this show now will live on. It's Spotify Green Room. But everyone who grew up in the locker room is now evolving into
you're gonna enjoy it.
It's like it's like Adam Silver breaking news. it's bad news. Like,
so I knew I should. Way I knew I should have vetted that. Anyway, I was like, okay, sure, done. So
I see some commenters saying they extended Brad GM.
Guys,
I'm still stuck on that. Is conspiracy.
I think they were afraid to lose him, so they threw him in the bag.
Wait, so they're afraid. Wait,
number on that contract. So, this
is where it doesn't make any sense to me. If you were afraid of losing him, you loved him as your coach, and he's still the coach. You didn't love him because of his promise of being a G. That this was never a thing. We never heard any of this. We never heard.
That was before Romeo Langford told him to shut the fuck up. That was before.
I know, but now at this point,
essentially quit on him. I don't think they anticipated that from Brad Stevens. They didn't anticipate Brad to lose the locker room as badly as he did this year.
Where's this thing
come from? Nor do they believe that he can save it. You know.
Where did this thing come from? And I love Brad. I think he could be successful at this, but where does this come from that he has enormous GM potential and that they've been hanging on to this and grooming him for that position? That never existed.
Well, we joked about it.
No, that never existed. Time,
it literally was like, hey, Brad, did you ever think about GMing?
That's what they said at the presser.
He literally said it. And Brad was like, being a GM, that's crazy. And Wick's like, is it? And that's how it happened. You know, like, they literally was like, they were telling that story.
Oh, it was so silly. Jimmy's
just to save Wick a couple bucks, they could have had a top GM, whether it's Presti or who are the other.
Masai.
Yeah, exactly. They could have had a top GM, and they could have had a top coach, whether it's
Boston Celtics. You can have anything you want.
You can have whatever you want. You could have had, if you think, if there's people out there that think Brad is a great coach, and he's better than having nobody right now. We have no idea who they're going to end up hiring. You're telling me that Brad's a worse coach than Brad's assistant if they end up going the assistant route? So you could have had one of the best GMs available and one of the best coaches available, because we all agree, whether Brad's coaching the Celtics or another team, he's probably one of the best available coaches as of today. So you could have one of each. Instead, right now, you have neither.
You've downgraded both positions.
Just so Wick can save a couple, because he doesn't want to pay Brad to leave. He doesn't want to pay a top GM. And he doesn't want to pay a top coach. Is that why we're doing this?
Yeah. I don't know.
John, when you put it that way, jeez.
I know. All right, look, we've talked about this a bit.
Is that the joke?
Yeah. We've talked about this a bit. I wanted to whip around.
Jimmy, what you know about that show? I love that show.
I think you should leave.
You should leave on Netflix.
Season 2 is coming out soon. Is that the joke?
Yeah, it's coming out.
Is that the joke? We lose our head coach and our GM, and we have neither going forward, and then our two superstar players want to leave?
What is that?
Is that the joke? I think you should leave on Netflix.
Leave. That's what it's called. Robinson. It's called I Think You Should Leave.
Which one is that?
The show is called.
No, but what's the comedian's name? I've seen this.
Tim Robinson.
I've seen it. I saw most of season one.
See the rest of it.
Good stuff.
Yeah. With the banana car and all of that stuff. That's like a super famous meme.
The hot dog one?
The hot dog. He crashes the hot dog car into the store and he comes on the hot dog car.
Oh, by the way, I Think You Should League Pass. It's a great meme follow on Twitter.
Yeah, I Think You Should League Pass. And there's a hockey version that's really good, too.
All right. One thing I wanted to talk about, we talked about the disastrous day in the NBA, but the Kawhi Leonard goes out and immediately people start to speculate. What does this mean? And Bobby talked about this today on our chat and I did want to bring it up here. Now, if you're the Clippers as a destination, the Clippers have been tied as a possible destination for Kemba Walker for a while. Does this possibly make it even more so? Now, if Leonard really did.
You're going to make it, dude?
Really did injure his ACL.
Damn, dude.
That was a long single sentence.
I was looking at LAC at the end, thinking it was a title for ACL.
I thought you were doing the talking through a yawn. I had to do that. It sucks.
Yeah, no, yeah.
I was reading that, and I was like, I think there's a typo. Does that open the door potentially for a trade there?
Yes. Availability there was always there. The question is whether the Celtics are going to get something back that they actually can do something with here. Because, again, Bernadoni's example of Yogi Ferrell, Patrick Beverley, and Luke Kennard, does that really do anything for you? I mean, Kennard could maybe fit in here somewhere, and Beverly had a rough year, and now it's going to be even tougher watching them play with him playing even more in Kawhi's place. And then Farrell's whatever. So could you get Morris in that trade somehow if you divvy up more picks? That's my question, because Morris could actually be useful for this group.
I don't know if Mook wants to come back, man. But
no, but in that scenario where you're trading Kemba for basically Luke Kennard's extension, I'd probably rather have Kemba than Kennard.
Well, yeah.
I mean, it the whole thing with Kemba is he going to play? So that's the risk. That's why we're even. I mean, yeah, the fit's an issue, but for me, it's the health is a bigger issue than the fit. I mean, you can get by with the fit, whether it's John's idea of moving him to the bench, but if he's only playing 50 games and you have no suitable backup, then now you just have a huge void at that position. So
yes,
that's it's hard. It's hard to build your roster around a starting point guard that only starts half the season.
Now, if Kemba's hurt bad, so he leaves the playoff series saying there was a new injury and that it had nothing to do with the old one. I mean, we've heard a lot of talk from Kemba about his health over the last few years that really didn't stand up against what was reality. So if he is in a bad place health-wise and this is the best you can get and they get three players who can play consistently in Kennard, Beverly, Yogi Ferrell, and Morris, or whatever ends up being there, I think you have to do it just for stability's sake, because Kemba's in and out, in and out, in and out was a big part of their inconsistency last year. And that, again, is why I think at this point, beyond the discontent that's been reported here, you have to trade him. And you get off Beverly's $13 million right away after year one. Ferrell obviously would be negligible, but Morris, you would have multiple years. You would keep him around. You'd probably be happy about that. So the smaller deal would be more of a salary dumping scenario. And then that bigger deal, you would actually get some useful role pieces in terms of Morris. And I wouldn't count on that one, but let's just say Kawhi tore his ACL.
Wow.
If he did.
Wow, Bobby, you went there.
They said
if he did.
They said injury to the ACL. There's not a lot else you do to the ACL. Yeah. I mean,
nor are you going to get a better return at this point for Kemba Walker.
Yeah, I know. It could be something that's not a year of ACL here. But if it is that, I mean, the Clippers have to find something here. And there's not many routes that they can go in terms of finding a guy who can score 20 points a game.
What's Kawhi's
contract status? And those aren't bad pieces, Bobby. I mean, what's wrong with someone like Patrick Beverley in this city? I mean, obviously, I think he'd be an instant fan favorite just for getting.
Yeah, I'd be fine.
Oh, he's gross.
You don't like it? I'll give you this much though. A couple of years ago, I was bigger on Beverley. He sort of dropped off.
You're gonna feel Beverley.
This past season,
Beverley would be this year's Tristan Thompson. You'd be like, I've seen this guy play, and he's been good before. And then he comes here, and you're like, oh, that was the guy I saw four years ago.
That right? 30.
But Brad Kennard. He's got Brad written all over him. Like, I just think that's a
Brad's not the coach anymore.
Yeah, but that's who's pulling the trigger on these teams.
Yeah, exactly.
And you know that move will be way more about Kennard than it is about Beverly or even Yogi
Ferrell. That's a lot of Kennard.
I don't think Morris is in that trade.
It's a lot of Kennard. That Kennard extension's
tough. That Kennard extension's tough. Man, the Clippers are in a bad spot. I mean, that makes you look at the Celtics and be like, wow, it's a pretty good situation here.
Yeah, it's really good here.
What is Kawhi's contract? I know he was. Did he have a player option?
He has a player option for next year.
So he's going to.
If he's out, he'll opt in because there's no reason to not get paid. Unless he does the Durant and thinks there's one of those situations elsewhere.
I mean, it's worked out for Durant.
Well, in that case, if he leaves LA, which he probably won't, but if he does, then you're really looking at a situation where the Celtics can send multiple picks and get multiple really good players back here just to dump him off and make this a bigger thing where they can actually address some of their needs here. To me, we're going to talk about TP a little bit tonight, I think, and this and that. To have everything coming together. Well, no, this is my point. To have all this stuff come together, what are they going to do in the draft? What are they going to do with Kemba? What are they going to do with the TP? I think you have to all do it in one ginormous deal here and send all these picks out, all these guys you don't want anymore, maybe have some value to some teams, and just find all the best stuff that you can possibly get back here. I think we're suddenly looking at a major overhaul of this team this year.
I mean,
that's far with the TPE. You're very limited with that.
Let me just slide in, since we're talking about Kemba and possible trades. I just want to reiterate what we talked about on Locker Room last week. My first choice for a Kemba trade right now is Kemba for John Wall. Figure out if you need to include a pick or what. But I think John Wall on this team could slide into that role, bigger guard, more of a distributor. And this way the Celtics can still contend, in my opinion, improve. And you're not talking about like a rebuild on the fly, or you're not, you know, maybe he actually sparks the Jays a little bit and you can get the ball into his hands. And now he's bringing the ball up, and now you have the ball out of Tatum's hands a little bit more. So Tatum can probably, you know, do his thing more at the small forward position or the power forward position and not have to be point Tatum. And then you don't have to worry about him walking the ball up and slowing down the offense. That's my first choice for if you can flip Kemba and John Wall. I know John Wall is a little bit more expensive, but you're just talking about tax money at that point anyways. And that's the money that you just saved on Tatum anyways. So now Bobby
will talk about Horford for 7
minutes. Like Horford. Horford's my preferred choice. Of all the ones we mentioned last week.
I hope that people watching this show are going to agree with – it would just be so much more fun to have Wall on this team than bringing back old Al Horford. Come on.
I know, but imagine
– Wall just gets mad, though.
He's playing with Jason Tatum. He's coming from Houston. He's going to be kissing the parquet floor when he steps
in. Okay, well, let me ask you this. Do you think John Wall thinks he's better than Tatum and Brown?
No.
Yes. Yes, that's the answer is yes.
I don't think he thinks he's better. I think John Wall thinks he's better than what people think he is, and I think he's out to prove that.
I agree with you.
I think Wall is an upgrade over Kemba.
He could be John. Sure, I don't
Wall's
think
bigger. He's not a defensive liability. We're not talking about they're just switching on to Wall all the time because he's, you know, undersized guard and all this.
That's a good point.
I'm putting up this comment here because I want people to understand. Nobody is going to love any Kemba Walker trade.
Finally, this needed to be said.
This is the TPE talk.
You're not going. You got guys.
If not those two, then who? Who's coming into it?
You're not going to love it. You've got to pick the best of a not great option, or keep Kemba and shut the. You know, stop. Stop.
Oh my god!
Stop filling the chat with trade Kemba.
Yeah.
Because you can't say no to everything, but also trade Kemba.
We had about 10 games, maybe more last year, where this chat was flooded with trade Kemba. And now here we are, and no one wants to do it.
Well, this reminds me of the TV.
Oh, no, they want to see, they want to see Luka
return. Troll Kemba, or a trade that's less than perfect and a trade that could actually make you worse next year. But like a trade like for John Wall that has a shot at making you better is a no-brainer for me, when most of the trade scenarios involve the Celtics selling Kemba simply to rid themselves of a contract. The worst Kemba trades are the ones where you actually lose the player and gain nothing in return and lose more assets. And those are theoretically on the table. So if you're looking at possibly getting a quality player back who you don't love, you wrap your arms around that and you embrace it. And you say, welcome back, Big Al, or I'll roll the dice on you, John Wall, because it doesn't get better than that. There is no...
How was Oklahoma?
Right.
Yeah.
I love the Horford return. I could really get excited about that. But I understand, Jimmy, why you like the Wall. No, I understand why you like the Wall.
I want to throw this one out. David Aldridge was on with Celtics Beat this week, also on CLNS, said Kemba still has value around the NBA. Another team thrown around a ton is we've heard the Knicks as a possible player, and Sherrod believes that one is
on Dome Theory.
And he jumped on Dome Theory with Bobby Manning. Also on CLNS Media, you should subscribe to all of these podcasts, by the way. Sherrod says that he thinks the Knicks thing is real. So, again, but what Aldridge said is there's a general vibe among Celtics fans here that Kemba has lost all value, and Aldridge disagreed. He believes that there's still teams that absolutely would like to take on a player like Kemba, even considering his contract. And obviously, you're not going to, you know, give Boston everything they want, but he believes there's a market. You guys buying it? I'm not buying it.
That's tough for me to fully buy.
On the medical. It all depends on that medical.
Yeah, and of course, if they strike out on, you know, a couple of options that they have on the top of the list of potential targets, I think, yeah, that could happen just to sort of boost that offense.
Here's why I find it harder to believe. The way the season ended for Kemba Walker, you could not have ended any worse. I mean, you were 2 weeks – if he could have gone two more weeks of playing basketball, we're talking about this in a completely different way.
Probably. I know. Because he would have finished the season with that 30-point run. Right.
Yep. He would have played. You know, the plan worked. He was able to give it a go. And you know, we're expecting him to be
disaster.
You know, fully ready to go for, you know, next year. And now teams are interested. You're talking about a Kemba Walker who, you know, had a lot of – moments this season where he looked like Kemba Walker, but the way it ended, where he literally couldn't play, is exactly why we're talking about the trades that we're talking about involving Kemba Walker now, because you just can't get a lot for a player making $30 million and can only theoretically give you 40 games a season, 40 to 50 games a season.
So here's the only way I can talk myself into this Knicks Kemba trade. If the Knicks look at it, this free agency class, which isn't good if you look up and down it. The only guy I could really see them making a run at here is DeMar DeRozan. If they look at DeRozan and say, all right, we don't want to pay this guy for 4 years. Let's get a comparable talent in Kemba for 2 years at less money than we'd be paying DeRozan here. And then we get off that in 2 years and we have more flexibility again there. Because you have to kick cap space down the line somehow. Last year, we saw less teams doing that one-year big money, kick your cap space to next year thing. So if you're a team like the Knicks with $60 million in cap space, you have to find some way to kick that forward if you don't want to sign any of these free agents. That's the only way I see it. But, man, the Celtics will have to dump multiple picks in that deal to send out $36 million with nothing right coming back. Like, I'm thinking 2-3 first there.
That's why I hate it.
Now
that's why you get in the wall type of deal, because you know Houston would love to get underneath from that.
The Celtics will not trade Kemba Walker and 3 first-round picks not get a player back in return that makes them better. Will not do that.
And if they
you're not trading a player that helps you now and assets in the future. You're not doing that. That's an insane
proposal, Bobby. You think Brad's gonna do his first trade with the team?
No, that's an insane.
Out, future first, man.
You cannot do that. You can't trade a guy who's currently helping you. And
is he helping you
more than nobody?
Yeah, he was like.
You can't do that
without getting something of value in return. The picks only go if the thing you're getting back is quality. You don't trade multiple first-round picks simply to get rid of Kemba. That's insane.
You just keep them.
I'm not.
You just keep them and him. Why would you do that? It's insane.
And then they're picking at 16.
It doesn't matter. Why would you do that? You can't. Yeah. You have no flexibility to make moves after that.
That they have moving forward, because you know the way this team is set up, they should be able to compete, and they're hoping that this is going to be worse from here.
In that scenario, you do get a $36 million TPE.
If you say TPE to me again,
we're going to do this all over again.
Can you imagine that?
The Kemba version.
Don't you dare say TPE on this show again.
Seriously, why would the Knicks do
that? That's out of Danny's book, though. Danny Ainge 101, you know, that course that Brad Stevens is taking right now.
You're not trading 3 firsts for a TPE.
I just, I don't
so
know why.
Stop
the,
it.
I don't know why
stop
the Knicks would do
so
this otherwise.
Alan's so brazen with our first round picks.
Yeah, Bobby, you don't believe some of the things you say. I'm not
saying this is a good thing for the Celtics. I'm saying if I'm the New York Knicks, this is what I'm asking for. Why would they do it otherwise? You can just use your cap space on DeRozan.
Because you believe.
Have him play every game.
The thing you were saying earlier, you were headed down a decent path, which is to say a team values what Kemba Walker brings, can eat the salary without it killing them because they don't want to use that money on anyone else right now. And if they have the space, why not roll the dice on this guy versus, as you said, DeMar DeRozan for twice the length of time? That makes sense. I think Kemba can help me some. He gives me something I currently don't have on this team, and I actually do want to do this. I'm not going to give you a ton for it, but I'm also not going to make you give me three freaking first-round picks on top of it. You're going to give something that isn't great in return, but you're not going to – there's no way – you trade all of those picks and Kemba unless what you're getting back is good, okay?
Kemba would be electric at Madison Square Garden.
You're taking a bad contract and something of value. Right.
Money players. Well, the issue here is we really don't understand this health situation. Someone asked him at the end of the year, is this load management thing permanent for you? And he can't really answer.
Yeah, he couldn't even answer.
His health is a complete mystery. And we keep talking about it.
He's like, the way my career is set up, I mean – maybe.
Right. And John, you were. This is why we did the, or at least I did the apology cam last.
I'll do it again. I still got it. You guys want it?
We keep talking about the situation with him as if it's going to get better someday. When really, what we're describing is something that's only going to get worse over time.
What's degenerative mean to you? we talked about this before the season. There's degenerative and regenerative. Which one does Kemba have?
A regenerative knee injury would be something else.
Not a torn ACL.
Torn ACL, those things heal up like that.
Oh, man. Yeah.
You miss your time, you come back in 9 months, good as new.
You just need the clean break, right? Is that what you said? The clean
piece of break. Cake. Yeah. I would have rather he snapped his leg in two.
A lot of people in the comments are coming at me for the John Wall trade idea. Listen, I know John Wall has a long list of injury issues too. But in a clean swap, I'll just take my chances with him because I think he's a better fit. So if I have to deal with injuries one way or another,
I don't hate the idea, Jimmy.
I'll deal with those injuries.
Yeah, not you.
It's our friends in the comments section.
Well,
I don't know John Wall's injury history. You think I don't know John Wall's injury history, people? I know his injury history. I still would do the trade.
He played. It's tough for me to tell. I have a really tough time telling with Wall whether it was just, wow, I'm on the worst team ever. Let's mail in this year. Or if that's what he is now. Because if that's what he is now, it was pretty bad. He played like 20 games fewer than Kemba. Shooting was a disaster. His defense statistically was worse than Kemba's. But again, how much of that was just the Rockets being the Rockets? I don't know.
This is the deal right here.
What you got?
Is it up on the screen? It's slow playing me here.
Oh,
on the app.
There it is. That's all it takes. Get right.
I mean,
on
to match contract. That's what it takes, right?
That's what it takes. That gets it done right there.
That's exactly what it takes.
Well, that's after Tatum recruits Beal at the Olympics.
So. Yeah. Which is funny because, you know, Wizards fans are thinking the exact opposite.
That is
Wizards
true.
Fans are like, oh, he's going to recruit Tatum to come to Washington, or they're going to try to figure
story.
Out a way.
I literally watched John Wall's highlight reel of his time in Houston. It's like a 9-minute YouTube video. I watched it yesterday before I made these hot takes.
Highlight reels.
And you know what?
The all good tape.
That's right. He looks good. He's not as explosive, but I'll tell you what, like the size difference is very obvious when he's driving to the hoop, throwing down dunks, his distribution. I sold myself on it. So listen,
I also sold myself on
what's his name? I called him Aaron Gordon 2.0, and I don't know if that was completely accurate. That was who the Celtics
pick up. It was egregious, whoever it was.
Who the Celtics pick up? Played in Milwaukee. Oh, he played in Milwaukee.
Oh, Jabari Parker.
Thank you. Why was I blanking on his name? Jabari
Parker. He was at
Gordon 2.0.
That was after the YouTube highlight reels.
Just mentioning Jabari Parker just brought me to such a dark place.
He'll be back. Full off season with the team. I'm not coming off that fully yet.
How would you the TP guys, man, you lead off with Marvin Bagley on the TP guys, and then you think of him with Parker. It's just going to be like it's going to be the comeback story off the bench next year for all these different guys that they're going to bring in. But I would like, again, I'm fine with Parker coming back. I'm fine with trying out a guy like Bagley if that's a possibility. Guys that just didn't work in other situations, and maybe they can figure something out here. Because honestly, wasn't Parker top 3-5 guy on the team against Brooklyn there?
I don't know. I can't wait to see how he does in the Olympics.
Hey, we'll see who says no.
I'm starting to see Jimmy, and again, just to wrap up Kemba, I love the wall idea for all the reasons you did, but I'm seeing why the commenters don't, because they think you can flip Kemba in contract for Beal or Kemba for Brogdon.
Right. It's crazy.
That's where picks come into play. So if another team decides they wanted to move on because they're in a semi-rebuild, maybe you take on. But again, you're it's 2 years of Kemba, and that's the killer. If it was one, it's a different story. Right. But that's where if the Celtics get a better player in return and take another contract off the other team's hands, eat some money, and give picks, yes, you can make that work. If the other team is dumping, okay, yes, that's where you trade your picks, but not just to get rid of him. You've got to win the trade on a player perspective in order to give up the picks.
And I think that only happens in a big multi-team deal with different guys going different places.
And Marcus, you might have a couple different things.
But what about this? Knowing that Kemba has 2 years left in his deal, if you hold on to him for one more year, all of a sudden he becomes more valuable in an expiring contract to some teams that might
next year. Can you put the team through that again with just how awkward all those fits are? And I think you do have a choice to shake it up, and you have to do it with the bench and the Kemba spot. Try to get in a guy like Wall who can pass better, who has size, who does all those different things, because you really need passing. And again, Jimmy, if they pull that off, me and you, we'll be really excited here, because we know what Wall can bring to the table as a passer. And there's a chance there, if all goes right, that unlocks the team a bit. And all of a sudden, the new coach and Wall playing at a high level has you looking at a much better team next year.
Bring
in a coach who's a former point guard, maybe a Chauncey Billups, maybe a Sam Cassell. Yep. And now you're cooking. With gas.
It's happening. So
healthy Rob.
So we're doing it. I had a vision today, by the way. You said it, Rob. Did you say healthy Rob?
Yep.
Yeah.
I had a vision today that Rob showed up like, absolutely out of his mind. I'm waiting for that first off-season story with Rob that like he's like
young Giannis.
Because honestly, like I said, we're gonna hop over to the locker room, so we'll continue the conversation there. But I've always believed this: the only way things get better is if what they have here is better than we think it is. It's the only way. Continued growth of these guys, not a big, massive move. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but if Rob shows up and he's like a top five player at his position next year and stays healthy.
Top five?
Yes, I'm going for it. If he's better than Gobert, because you know what? Gobert blows.
He was top 5-6 in blocks and top 5-6 in rebounds.
I have no reason to believe he can't get there. As a center, I have no reason to believe he can't get there.
Per minute, he might have been already last year.
He was close. If he can get Capella beyond Capella level, absolutely, big difference, okay? If he gets there and
Capella's been balling out.
You get progress from the wings. That's how you get there. That you need everybody.
Bring back Fournier.
That's the key. If you don't get it, you're stuck in the middle a little bit. The only way they click, it's not going to be a big move. I don't think so. But anyway, I want to tell people again, Spotify Green Room. What's Spotify Green Room?
What is that? Yeah.
It is the new locker room. Locker room is not dead. Locker room is now just Spotify Green Room. If you go on your... That's what it is. Spotify has taken over Locker Room, merged with Locker Room. It's the same functionality, okay? And if you have a Locker Room app, you don't have to download a new app. You just go to it, update it. Ta-da! And the update immediately takes you to Green Room, and that's how that thing works.
Jimmy.
I'm just seeing where we are. I'll also say this: there's a lot of open rooms right now, so you might have to do a little scrolling to find us off the right.
No,
off
the link is here; it's in the chat.
Okay. Well,
don't be so.
If you're watching it on your laptop or something, then maybe you still need to find it. But point is, there's a lot of rooms today because it's like it's the grand opening of this Spotify Green Room. So Just we're in there. You just got to look, scroll for us a little bit, and then you'll find us.
It's Celtics Offseason Rumors is the name of the room. We're all in here, so we're going to go hang out now. Guys, want to all go? Should we just all go together? Let's all go together. What do you say?
Yeah,
let's hold hands and go together.
We're going to hold hands. We're all going to jump in. So anyway, thank you once again, Spotify Green Room. Take a second now. We'll wait for you guys. The link is here. If you put it in the chat, I think it's already been put in there.
I see it. So we are, it's a scroll and a half to get, you got to find us. You got to find us. Do a little homework. We are there though.
A scroll and a half.
Rumors. Yeah, like I'm just saying, there's a lot of rooms open.
Keep
right
going
now.
Down the hall, all right?
A lot, of, weak, guys are a lot
saying,
of weak rooms.
Guys are saying bye. Don't say bye. Say we'll see you over on Green Room.
It's not goodbye. It's
we're going all night. Room. If you've seen John host in Locker Room, we could be 3 more hours here.
You guys tell me. I go. If the people are there, we hang. If you guys show up, we show up and we stay and we'll stay
watch
there.
The game too. There's a couple games.
We'll hang out. We'll watch the too. Game. Let's hang out. I'm going to put it on right now. Yeah. And we're all going to jump in there. Dylan, not bye. Dylan, I'll see you over on Green Room. Now, who's saying bye? Come on over. Hang out. Talk to us. And we'll go as long as you guys want. We'll see you guys there.
Sir.
All right.